Erling Haaland has continued his remarkable start to the season, scoring against former employers Borussia Dortmund in another Manchester City win. Elsewhere, Club Brugge and Barcelona played out a six-goal classic. Victor Osimhen claimed a hat-trick at Ajax, and the stories just keep on coming. Inter made it 4 wins from 4. Karabakh denied Chelsea, and Paphos make history with their first ever competition win. Stay with us as we review match day for Wednesday in the UEFA Champions League. Hello, I'm Rob Daly, and what a night of UEFA Champions League football as the league phase officially reaches its midway point. And the second half was certainly so dramatic across the 7 late kickoffs in the competition. European football expert Kevin Hatchard is with me to try and review all of that.
I think what's really stood out about this night particularly, Rob, is the depth of quality we have in the league phase this season.
Yeah.
Because you look at a team like Paphos, they've never been in the league phase before. They've got 5 points already. First ever Champions League phase win, got it against Villarreal, and deservedly so, excellent performance from them. So that's 5 points they've got already. You look at Karabakh, who'd already won twice, taking on Chelsea, and really looking as though they belong, because Chelsea had a fight just to get a point from that game. So you've got teams like that who don't have long histories in this competition, or in some cases, no history in this competition, showing what they can do. You go slightly up the ladder, if you like, to a team like Club Brugge, and they've rolled up their sleeves, welcomed one of the biggest teams on the planet, and gone, we fancy this, we think we can win. And they led 3 times, and they attacked from the get-go. I love it. I think if you look all the way through the league phase, there is quality, there's competitiveness. I think it's something to savour. And goals, wow, the Champions League does goals, doesn't it?
It certainly does. Here are the scores from Wednesday night, and we're going to get to the early kickoffs later. Karabakh 2, Chelsea 2, Paphos 1, Villarreal 0, Club Brugge 3, Barcelona 3, Inter 2, Kara Almaty 1, Benfica 0, Bayer Leverkusen 1, Ajax 0, Galatasaray 3 in Amsterdam, Marseille 0, Atalanta 1, and Newcastle United 2, Athletic Club 0. But we'll start with our review from the City of Manchester Stadium. Kev was alongside John Bradley to watch Manchester City against Borussia Dortmund.
Forward downfield, and the shot, oh yes, Phil Foden with a touch of class places it into the bottom corner.
And we know that Foden, when he gets in that kind of position, has the capability to pick his spot, and he just bends the ball really gently around the goalkeeper.
This is Doku now, away from Rios, and across goal it comes. Haaland, inevitable, he scored again. He found the perfect position to be on hand for Doku's pullback, and as soon as you saw it was him, where it was, well, you knew what was coming next.
On his left foot, bang. No chance of saving that, but it's super work again from the wide players. First Savinho to cause the problem, and then Doku to get past his man and get that ball in.
Manchester City still have it. Foden's touch, immaculate! It's an even better finish. It's 2 for Foden. It's 3 for Manchester City, and that's even better than his first.
Well, the Dortmund fans behind the goal are defiant, but here they come again trying to get themselves back into the game, and they have themselves a goal. It's an outstanding finish as well, and Valdemar Anton has given them a lifeline.
And what he does cleverly actually here, Anton, is he doesn't just thrash at it with his right foot, he lets it come across his body, and that allows him to open up his instep. It's a really good finish on the run from a centre-back.
Manchester City are looking for a fourth here. And the dribble inside the penalty area, waltzing across is Ryan Cherki, and he does seal it in style. A brilliant individual run and a very, very classy finish makes it Manchester City 4, Borussia Dortmund 1.
John Bradley was on commentary then. He joins us on the show now. Phil Foden, player of the match. Two teams level on points at kickoff. But City really show what they're all about right now, John. They seem to be on the rise.
Yeah, they seem to be. All those new signings that they made January and then, of course, in the recent transfer window just seem to be starting to gel quite nicely for Pep Guardiola. It's a different looking Manchester City side these days than perhaps we've seen in the past. And at the start of the game, they were quite happy to surrender possession. And Borussia Dortmund started very quickly and started with a real intensity, tried to push Manchester City back and cause them problems. And then City just grew into the game nice and slowly. And then, well, when you've got the quality of the players that they have who can turn defence into attack so quickly. Savinho very explosive on one side, Foden with just touches of class, such guile. And then of course Erling Haaland, of course, just Mr. Inevitable every time he gets the ball inside the penalty area. And for Borussia Dortmund, who worked so hard, they put so much into the opening of the game, and then Manchester City hit them with a quick fire double blast, and then they're up against it straight away, and Manchester City can manage the game from there. And it, but for Gregor Kobel, who was outstanding in the Dortmund goal, I think City had 10 attempts on target within about 55 minutes at the start of the game to show how good Kobel had been. You know, that Dortmund deserve a lot of credit for their resilience in staying in this match as long as they did.
First 20 minutes, I thought Dortmund were great. I thought the shape was good. I thought they were physical. They were winning duels, winning the second ball. But elite players are elite players because they can smash open really tight football matches. And what you had was a situation where Tijani Reinders, who has a brain like a supercomputer, recognises instantly where Foden is. He's picked up a great position in between the lines, between the defensive line and the midfield. And once you do that, it's too late then for an opposition because they can't push out from defence. They can't drop from midfield. So you know then Foden's got 2-3 seconds to assess his options. Well, then you're in trouble because if he has that time, which he gets from Reinders' pass, he can pick that bottom corner. It's brilliant football from City. And Dortmund had looked really good up to that point, but they just were opened up by world-class quality. And then the second goal is exactly the same because at that stage, Savinho's causing all kinds of problems down the right. His cross, shoveled away by Kobel. Then Doku on the other side, really smart, gets away from Rierson, who can't touch him in the penalty area. And then he picks out Haaland, who's on the move, as he always is in the box, and then just absolutely thumps it home left-footed. So it's two moments where a very good, well-organised team have been opened up by world-class quality.
Erling Haaland, 86 goals in 89 games for Borussia Dortmund, but he just seems to do it against them, doesn't he? When he plays his old club. Phil Foden, player of the match. Can you see why, Kev, after his two goals tonight?
I can. I think it's about moments because you look at the first goal, it's outstanding. Second's even better, which John made the point in commentary quite rightly, because he's away from Ben Sabaini in a flash, and then it's an even better finish into that far corner. So he is effectively the match winner with those two brilliant goals. But you could have had a few. I thought Savinho was unplayable at times down that right-hand side. Doku had his moments as well. Reinders was great. So take your pick, really. And it's actually quite a good thing for City that Haaland scored a goal. Of course, a lot of the talk is about him because he's playing his old club, but actually there were quite a few players in that team putting their hand up.
Do you know the thing about Phil Foden and what he's done tonight is that he scored two goals from outside the penalty area, and both goals he hasn't laced or he hasn't really put his foot through. The first one he caresses, rolls it beyond the goalkeeper. I mean, it's as cool a finish as you can see. The second, he clips a little bit more. But again, it's not something where you see that the player take a huge backlift and really try and put everything in it. It's just having that ability to see the bigger picture. And he was disappointed with his form last season. He's spoken quite openly about his disappointment in his form last season. I think he's come back wanting to prove a point this season. I think also as well is he wants to be an experienced leader in this Manchester City side now that he's got to 25 somewhere out of nowhere. Yeah. He's reached 25 years old and he doesn't just want to be the bright young thing anymore. He wants to be the main man in that Manchester City side.
But he's also one of the most naturally gifted players of his generation. I mean, I've seen very few players who are as comfortable on the ball as he is, in the way that Lamine Yamal is, that they're not thinking about a lot of the stuff. A lot of it's instinctive, and what that does is it gives them room to think about all the other stuff. I know my first touch will be perfect, so I can work out where I'm going to put the ball.
That's the second goal, isn't it?
Yeah,
because
exactly.
He takes it on the half turn, and as he's taking the ball, he's opening his body up, knowing straight away that I'm going to take this, open my body up, and then without any back lift, I'm going to clip it beyond the goalkeeper into the back of the net. He knew what he was going to do when the ball was being played into him from Savinho.
We'll come back to this game shortly, but it did finish Manchester City 4, Borussia Dortmund 1. Let's go to the Jan Bredel Stadion in Belgium, where Club Brugge led 3 times against Barcelona. Trisoldi with the opener, Carlos Forbes with the subsequent 2 goals, but every time they were pegged back by Hansi Flick's team. Ferran Torres made it 1-1, Lamine Yamal made it 2-2, and Yamal's deflected cross off of Solis ended up in the net for an own goal to make it 3-3. Club Brugge had a disallowed winner in added time after a foul on Szczesny in the lead-up to it. But an extraordinary game and performance, end-to-end cracking football, Kev.
Yeah, and I have a feeling that the Barcelona coach, Hansi Flick, had an inkling that this type of game was coming.
You think so?
Yeah, because he talked about Club Brugge, he talked about the stadium, it was as if he was warning his players just how tough this was going to be. You have to admire Barcelona for coming back 3 times. Every time they got knocked down, they picked themselves up. But Club Brugge deserve just the most immense credit for... It's one thing to think we'll take on a team like this. We know they'll give us chances with that high defensive line. It's another thing to actually make that work. And Nicky Hines done a fantastic job with that club, because last season we were raving about them with some of the performances that they gave. And this season, you look what they did to Monaco on match day 1. You look what they've done here. They really believe that they can do something at this level, and they believe that they can qualify at least for a playoff spot, if not better. So huge credit to both teams, but in different ways.
I think the one thing we've worked out is that Barcelona games are going to be really entertaining this season, aren't they?
Again.
And every single game, every single minute of every single game that they play, you can't take your eyes off. And when the game came to an end, no one wanted the game to end. And it's great for us watching, but brilliant to watch, great entertainment, and also really high calibre.
How good was Carlos Forbes, by the way? Unbelievable performance. So quick, so direct, so dangerous. And he's a player that we've been talking about for a while as he's going to make that leap. This might be a really pivotal evening for him, because to do it against a team of that calibre, he'll think, well, if I can do it against them, I could do it against quite a few teams. So still a very young man, and I think that leap might be coming.
His assist was great as well for the opening goal, along with his 2 goals, and he was the official player of the match. Let's go to a standout result in Amsterdam next. Victor Osimhen gave Galatasaray the lead with a header early in the second half against Ajax. And before long, he was on the score sheet twice more. Remco Pasveer, the veteran goalkeeper, between the posts in all blue for Ajax. Osimhen steps up, stutters, scores, ruthless, his second of the day. And Galatasaray are cruising now at Ajax, thanks to 2 quick-fire goals from their record signing. Victor Osimhen has another penalty, scored another penalty. He has a hat-trick in Amsterdam. Points to the match ball, punches it in the air, it is his, and surely the win is Galatasaray's. Yeah, a couple of second half penalties earning him a hat-trick. It's 6 goals in his 3 Champions League appearances this season. It's 3 wins in a row for Galatasaray, Kev.
I love the way that they've responded to losing 5-1 against Eintracht Frankfurt on match day 1, because that actually didn't do them justice, that scoreline on the day. They actually played better than that.
Yeah. And Arne Slot said that at the time, didn't he? Ahead of the Liverpool game.
Yeah.
It was a misleading scoreline.
And Arne Slot was right to warn his players about that, because they ended up losing 1-0 and Galatasaray were excellent. What I love about them in general, and Okan Buruk, the coach, they're really attack-minded. And it would be easy to kind of lose 5-1 in your opening game and think, do you know what, we need to tailor this a bit, because the Champions League is a step up and we need to maybe make some compromises.
Well, and then just do the opposite, basically.
He's just said, actually, we just need to press better when we don't have it, but we're not going to stop attacking. And why would you stop attacking when you have one of the best strikers on the planet? And that's what Osimhen is, because you talk about some of the best out there. When he's fit, he's scoring goals in volume. He scores big goals. He helped them win the Turkish Super League again last season. They've qualified for the Champions League. He is an unbelievable striker. And you have to applaud Galatasaray for bringing him in and keeping him, because they were really smart about it. They said, we love you. We want you to stay. We think you're one of our main players. The fans absolutely adore you. Why don't you stay here? And he said, OK, I will. And they got their reward.
And to back up the home successes with the really strong away performances, I think that really does show Okan Buruk's doing a really good job there.
Galatasaray, 3-0 winners away at Ajax, up to ninth in the league phase standings. Next to Inter, they beat Kairat Almaty by 2-1 to maintain their perfect start. They are on maximum points, along with Arsenal and Bayern, and only third narrowly on goal difference behind those two teams. Lautaro Martinez fired them ahead just before half-time, was taken off half-time as part of a substitution. The visitors got level, the first goal that Inter have actually conceded so far in the competition this season, as Ofri Arad headed home for the visitors, but then a long-range effort from Carlos Augusto won it. And Inter, despite, of course, the change in head coach and various other changes in the summer, flexing their Champions League muscle again, Kev.
Yeah, they are, and it's 10 wins out of 11 now. Their squad is so deep. You look at the number of attacking options they've got. Marcus Thuram's been injured, so you've got Boni can come in, Esposito can come in. Obviously, Lautaro is always there and scoring goals. So you've got that, then loads of midfield options. At the back, they're always strong, great goalkeeper. I mean, they've got to two finals in the last three seasons. You know, I wouldn't want to face them in a knockout tie, put it that way. So really good. On the flip side of that, we talked right at the top of the show about Paphos, and we talked about Karabakh. Kairat to go there and only lose by the odd goal in three, that's some effort. It really is. So, yeah, but certainly credit to both teams in this one.
Four from four, and they've got a couple of tough ones coming up, so that, you know, it was important to get that win in Liverpool. It was match day six, San Siro. So, you know, that just gives them that extra bit of breathing space. And you look at the top eight as it stands right now, and, you know, it's a veritable who's who list of giants of the Champions League. And, you know, last season we were looking at the surprise names up there of Brest and teams that were catching people by surprise. You can see there's a change in focus from the bigger teams who weren't quite at it early on last season. This season they're all right up there.
Yeah, it's an interesting shift in the dynamic, and I think we said, didn't we, this would happen once teams kind of worked out what do we need, how is this going to go, like how do you kind of plot your way through, then it was going to change slightly. But having said that, I mean, John's absolutely right. You know, there's some real big hitters in that top eight, but as I say, I've been really impressed with how some of the teams that aren't as heralded as some of those giants of world football have really attacked it. You know, there's not many teams going to places and really just trying to dig in. Like, they're really, you know, Karabakh went to Benfica on match day one and won, and deservedly so. So teams are properly going for it, which is why I think we're getting so many great games and so many goals.
One of those teams moving into the top eight tonight is Newcastle United. Lost their opening game with Barcelona, three wins in a row since. They beat an Athletic Club by 2-0. A brilliant back post header from Dan Burn. Really powerful strike across the face of goal.
A curling header.
It was.
It curled.
And Joel Linton nodded one in the second half as well. Nick Pope did have to make a number of saves on the night. Sandro Tonali, player of the match, he's been outstanding recently for the Magpies. But Eddie Howe will be delighted, won't he, with the way his team have responded to that Marcus Rashford-inspired opening day defeat.
Yeah, and I think they have... They were really good against Union Saint-Gilloise, produced a really good performance against Benfica as well. And they've looked probably more consistent in the Champions League than they have in the Premier League at times. And I think it's really important for them to do well in this competition, because I think there's real potential there. That midfield is one of the best midfields in the tournament, I think. Joelinton, Sandro Tonali, Bruno Guimaraes. Nick Woltemade has been a super signing. I mean, I've seen him a lot for Stuttgart. He's really blossomed in the last year or so. Very unusual striker, tall, but incredible technical quality. And so if they just be a little bit more consistent, again, they're going to be a team that if they get to the knockout rounds, nobody's going to want to face them. They're not going to want to go to the northeast and take on that kind of crowd. I mean, they get proper support there.
And Dan Burn would be up in the stands, wouldn't he, were he not scoring spectacular goals like his opener tonight?
I've been due one for a while, and the ball came in. I decided I was going to head it as hard as I could, and luckily it went in the far corner, so I was happy with it. We've been working on that. We knew that we'd have a bit of space sort of around the back there. But listen, sometimes that's probably about 1 in 100 goes in. But listen, I'll take that. As I said, I've been due a goal for a while, so at least it was a good header.
That's absolutely brilliant. You know, like footballers talk about, I kicked it as hard as I could. Or, no, I was going to head it as hard as I could. Yeah. What a brilliant line.
That's top level elite Champions League analysis of a goal. Yeah. I just headed it as hard as I could.
But like you said, who puts curl on a header?
But he can because
he's just so tall.
Bayer Leverkusen have picked up a vital win away at Benfica. Patrick Schick was the match winner.
The defenders, they did a good job, and the goalkeeper as well, saved us many times today. Today we needed also a bit of luck because they hit the bar or a crossbar. So, but clean sheet, and we go to the next one.
Yeah, clean sheet thanks to a series of saves from Mark Flecken. Benfica also hit the woodwork twice. They're still waiting for their first point in this season's Champions League. Jose Mourinho losing his opening two games, let's not forget, to Chelsea and Newcastle. And Patrick Schick, who drove into the left-hand channel, had a shot saved, but he stayed alive, managed to nod it home, has got Leverkusen the win. Atalanta with an away win as well, Kev. They've won tonight at Marseille, had a De Ketelaere penalty saved in the first half. Ademola Lookman had a goal disallowed in the second before in the 90th minute, Lazar Samardžić bent in a beautiful strike to win it for the Serie A side.
Yeah, Samardžić has always been a really technically gifted player, and they really needed this. So this was big for Ivan Juric, I think, as a big step forward under his leadership, because replacing Giampiero Gasperini is not easy.
No.
When he is, you know, a club legend who's delivered a Europa League and delivered the greatest spell of the club's history. So this is big for Juric. It's big for Atalanta. It's a big blow for Marseille because they've been looking good in Liga, have had a couple of tricky results recently, but in general have looked really good. So that was a really important result for Atalanta.
Let's talk about the early kickoffs on Wednesday evening now, starting with Chelsea, who travelled to Karabag. Here's what happened in Azerbaijan with your commentator, Martin Tyler.
Nestabau coming in. Oh, and doing more than that. The earliness of the shot caught the goalkeeper out, and Chelsea lead, and Nestabau has got back-to-back goals in the UEFA Champions League, and that for an 18-year-old is very special. Duran, he could get the better here of Hato, he's done that. It's Sek. Duran equalising now, he's hit the post, but the follow-up is in. It is 1-1. Andrade was on the spot again. Jankovic to step up here, 7 minutes to go to half-time, and he sends Sanchez the wrong way. And Carabao, they lead Chelsea. The lap has to come back and muscle his way into possession. He's done that very well. He's found Garnacho, the substitute's combining. Estevao's in the middle. Garnacho will get another go at it. And what a go at it! Instant impact, and Chelsea are level.
You heard it there. Estevao's opener cancelled out by Andrada's equaliser. Jankovic on the spot, but Garnacho salvaged the point. Chelsea pressed for their winner, but they couldn't get it in the end. Kevin, a great result for the Azerbaijani champions.
I think it's a fantastic result.
Lost 4-0 to Chelsea, 17-18 in the Champions League at home.
Yeah, and it does show how far they've come. And given the fact that they came into this league phase without huge pedigree in this competition, what you wondered was, could they translate what they've done in other UEFA competitions to this? Because this is a group that's been together a long time. Hurban Hurbanov has been coach for 17 years.
Yeah.
So he's been there, he's seen it, he's done it, he knows that club inside out. And they have been competitive in every single game. And having gone behind to Chelsea, you wondered how are they going to respond. What they did was they used the energy of the crowd. And I'm so pleased for Leandro Andrade, because there's a guy who's been with them a long time, who's been scoring goals, consistently in Europe for them. And Chelsea had to really fight to get the point. And yes, Chelsea could have won it afterwards at 2-2. They had chances. But I think Karabakh now, having picked up two wins already and now got this draw, will believe they belong at this level.
They can get to that 11-12 point kind of mark, can't they? Let's hear from Andrada, pleased with his team's response to going 1-0 down.
I think nothing changed. I think that was the turning point, that nothing changed. We just continued to play like in the first game against Benfica and just trying to showcase our football. And that's it. Not thinking that the game is over, you know. And we have a group of players that have been here for quite a few times, so it's not the first time that this happens, starting to lose a game in European competition. So it's just another game. Let's play football and see where we go.
Yeah, they're doing well. Karabakh 2, Chelsea 2. Let's move to Cyprus now, where Champions League new boys Paphos were looking to secure a first ever win in the competition against Villarreal.
And those in blue tried to take the chance early on here in the second half. Semmer's delivery! It is 1-0! Derek Lukasem for Paphos! And might this be the historic night that the Cypriot champions have been dreaming about? And for the first time ever in the Champions League, Paphos lead.
And they won. They won for the first time. A club only formed, what, 11 years ago now. What a special night for that football club, Kev.
It's a phenomenal achievement when you think that, as you say, they haven't been a club for that long. And they've had to really fight to get to this stage. And they've been competitive, and that's 5 points now. And Villarreal are a good side. They really are, especially at home, but they are a good side. Marcelino's an excellent coach. And they have edged out and beaten a very good team. And Lukasen, who's been really good for them, comes up with the winning goal. So not only are they competitive, they're quite hard to break down as well. I mean, I'm still gobsmacked that when they played Kairat, they had 10 men for almost the whole game. They were on the attack. They were trying to win it, and it was only excellent saves from the Kairat goalkeeper that kept it as a draw. So really impressed with them. The coach has set them up brilliantly throughout. Phenomenal effort.
Well, let's hear from him now, Juan Carlos Carcedo.
Really proud for all these players, because thanks to them, thanks to the fans that today they support us a lot. We are getting success. We know how difficult this is. Believe me that I was in the Champions League for many, many years, and it's so difficult to beat this kind of teams, especially this Villarreal that they were at their best. But okay, it's something that we will try to repeat more time, but we know the difficulty.
Okay, before we say goodbye, Kevin and John, I want your moment of the night from any of the games that we've seen here, starting with you, John Bradley.
I think obviously my focus was on what was happening at the City of Manchester Stadium, and Manchester City starting to look really strong. Phil Foden's second goal was a piece of wizardry and a piece of class.
OK, well, let's hear from him, Pep Guardiola, actually, now on Phil Foden getting back to his best form.
He's having incredible goals, and how many times we have seen that for Phil, right? How many times we have seen that generosity with effort, but especially with the final third, and we miss it a lot, and happy the three new players score goals and not Erling Haaland.
Yeah, he did need some goals from other places, yeah. And Phil Foden has certainly provided that. Haaland with 18 goals in 14 games. Kev, your moment of the night for the rest of the Champions League drama.
Derek Lukasen's winner for Paphos. Historic moment for them. And again, just underlines this running theme that the league phase has an incredible depth of quality this season.
Midway point, what a night of Champions League football we've been treated to in the league phase once again this evening. Don't forget, you can download the official UEFA Champions League podcast shortly after every single match night in this season's competition. My thanks to Kevin and John for their company this evening. And a reminder that Matchday Live will be back for Matchday 5 on air from 8:45 CET on Tuesday the 25th of November, with full commentary as well as all of the goals as they go in from across Europe. But until then, from me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.